The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Can't wait for the weekend. Wild card weekend in the National Football League. We'll talk with Matt Brown later this hour, get all his plays.
Oh, he's got a lot.
Oh, I can imagine. He from the Final Countdown, which he does with Story Bonatoni, weekdays here on the network, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. So we'll talk to Matt about that. Adam Burke will join us also. A glue, part of the Elmer's glue that holds the network together. Super glue, maybe Flex Seal that
Adam's
holds it
awesome.
Together.
He's the Flex Seal.
He's the Flex Seal.
Flex Seal of VSiN.
Yeah, he'll have his thoughts on the weekend as well. So a whole bunch of football coming up, and I will have some Australian Open thoughts here coming up. But one of the nice things, oh, by the way, pro tip from the last hour. Kelly, one of us didn't do a pro tip, and I think that's me. Make sure to keep an eye on weather reports for games this weekend, but also make sure you're not overvaluing the weather impact on games. That's a good little cautionary note. Again, we talked about the San Francisco weather, the Bay Area weather, where there's going to be a whole bunch of rain. You're going to hear about it, but it's supposed to happen in the morning. It's supposed to happen before the game actually kicks off. And then, on top of that, keep in mind, if no wind is involved, is there really impact? Again, we do one every hour here on the station, on the network. That's at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Now, one of the nice things about doing a numbers game, I always say this here at the South Point, is that we can have people just rolling on into the show at any given time, and we appreciate it when anybody does that. Don't just do it on your own. We have to actually plan it in advance, you know, just to make sure. Don't just pop in.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Kelly's going to have to bounce you out.
That's part of my job. I do bounce around here.
He's a bouncer. He's a bouncer, this guy.
Don't want to mess.
But this gentleman is kind enough to roll in here. His name is Anthony Ciccitelli. Did I pronounce that okay?
Ciccitelli.
Ciccitelli.
Close.
Yeah, we were closer than the beginning of the show.
Anthony Ciccitelli, who comes to us from New Jersey. How you doing? Nice to meet you.
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Before we get into why you are here and sort of the three different things that have been going on in your gambling life, let's talk about your T-shirt for a second. Catching Three. What is that?
So it's a group I'm with a couple of my friends who we handicap together. We are in a couple of the different contests. So weekly we go over our results in the contest. We also give out some previews on the games coming up specifically for the NFL, and then break down some, really just go over the week, you know, what's going on in the betting world. We do some free write-ups on different sports and
nice.
Stuff like that throughout the week. Yeah, so
nice.
whole bunch of different things on the website.
It's a good-looking shirt, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Cashing Three. All right, now, so here's how we promote your appearance. We said you were, like Kelly, you were on Colin Morikawa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even close to the worst thing that's happened to you. But you were on Morikawa. You didn't get off it because you were distracted.
Yes, correct.
And the reason you were, by the way, Colin Morikawa, who gacked a six-stroke lead, was it, heading into the final round?
Yeah.
Last week
nine
at the Century Tournament of Champions. Nine at one point,
you know, whatever.
Whatever. The reason you were distracted, because you were involved in a couple other contests.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the DraftKings Survivor contest. What was the pot,
mm-hmm.
and what was the situation?
So the DraftKings Survivor was actually the week before.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was going into week 17. The pot was $100 entry. Pot was 1.3, 1.4 million to the winner. We were down to 90 some players. Our ticket was worth about between 13 and 14,000 at the time. So we, going into the week, we really didn't have a strong play. We were looking on Sunday, and with this contest, you're able to put the picks in right before the games, right before the 1 o'clock kickoff. So we were looking at our options. We had Detroit available, so this was a couple weeks ago when they were playing the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Giants available when they were playing the Colts. We really didn't like either side. And honestly, we were trying to position ourselves to win as much of this pot as possible. So we ended up going with the Monday night game, the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Buffalo Bills, mainly because, A, we liked the game. We probably had the most conviction on that game than any other game that we had throughout the week. It was one of our circuit plays. And also, we wanted to kind of be out on an island, hoping that chaos kind of happened on Sunday, where we can either scoop more of the pot, we'd have more decision available if we wanted to hedge a little more. Everything would be in front of us come Monday night.
So very well thought through, in other
words.
We
thought through it very well.
And, of course, that was the game where Damar Hamlin went into cardiac arrest on the field. He's okay now, making great progress. But from your standpoint, of course, that game did not get finished. And so what ended up happening?
So, yeah, so we went back and forth with DraftKings, and that's actually when I got in touch with Kelly, because we were having a difficult time getting an answer, obviously. I'm sure thousands and thousands of people were reaching out about that game and trying to get an answer on different bets that they had.
That's right.
But I also started to dawn on me that not only were we 1-of-1 on that contest, we may have been 1-of-1 in Survivor in the country on that game because, you know,
sure,
measuring how far out you had to be in the season, having to take one of those teams, which was a coin flip game in the end, you know, we got a little worried that we weren't going to get an answer from the right person at the right time. So reached out to Kelly. We ended up getting in touch with somebody from DraftKings, reading through the rules. There were rules that stipulated if the game was not played, it would count as a loss. But there were other rules that said if the game was voided, it would count as a win. Also rules that said, you know, they have a stipulation in there to cover themselves as well for anything that common sense would need to prevail, or, you know, any unforeseen circumstances that common sense would need to prevail. So ultimately the result was we did get knocked out of the contest.
But they made good on it.
Yes, yes. They, I think they did the best they could. It seemed like the system keyed us out of the contest at the time that all the bets were settled. And I think it would have been difficult for them to bring us back in. They did end up giving us what the value of the ticket was in, like, bonus dollars. So we have to then play through. So I do appreciate that. I think that they did a good job with that. We would have very much so liked to still be in.
But given the circumstances, you feel about as good as you think you could?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, especially now.
Let me just say this. Yeah. Like, that is, you know, again, it's unfortunate. No one could have foreseen what happened. But you, first of all, you have a great attitude about it, which is awesome. And I want to shout them out a little bit, too. Now, there's going to be people listening because people are always anti-book, and they'll be like, oh. But I'll tell you this, and Kelly will back me up on this. If that was in Nevada,
yeah,
that
no
was
chance.
Never happening. Never happening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's about as good a resolution as one could offer. Now, you're right. That was the week before. The reason you were distracted from the Colin Morikawa bet and weren't concerned about even getting off that was why.
So we were in the Circa Millions. We actually were going into the last week. We were in the money, just barely, but we were in the money. I believe tied for 93rd, and so we were tied up in that, trying to see if we were going to make the money in the Circa Millions contest. I did actually check Morikawa probably around hole 9, just to check in what was going on.
Oh, me
so,
too.
Yeah, bad time to check in, I guess.
What you have to worry about?
So I checked in. I saw, okay, nothing left to do here, and right. I went back to the NFL.
That's
we
right.
had two games going at the time. I go back to the NFL. Checked my phone later to see that he's gone. And on top of that, we finished Circa Millions. We missed out by half a point on the money.
How much do they give to the final people in the money?
It was $2,500, something like that. Yeah,
just a modicum.
Yeah. I think what it was we were so bunched up that, you know, a 5-0 week shoots us up. You know, we're looking top 50 versus, you know. So
did you stand to make more on Morikawa in that particular weekend?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so in order of calamities, I just want to get the power right here.
Oh, like, that's so brutal, man.
It feels like a therapy session.
So Survivor was definitely number one calamity, followed by Morikawa, which, again, you weren't even really paying attention to, followed by just barely missing the money.
Financially, I think Morikawa, yes. But, you know, Circa Millions, we had spent all season doing
that. Yeah, there was an emotional thing to that.
Right.
Yeah. Man, well, look, you're knocking at the door on all three of them. All that's supposed to mean is, and now here's the thing about gambling, right? What you're supposed to say is, well, that means you keep knocking at the door, these things are going to happen for you. Unfortunately, we all know, right? Like, sometimes it doesn't work out that beautifully, and so you do want to seize those moments when it happens, and so you have a great attitude about it, so we just wanted to give you sort of platform to talk about it.
Well, thanks. Yeah, and we were close in everything. I mean, We had some strategies going into week 18, and ultimately all the favorites ended up winning, so it probably wouldn't have changed our ticket value much going forward.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, you know football very well. What do you think about the games this weekend? What's your favorite bet?
Favorite bet? Tough weekend. I do like Jacksonville teased up definitely more than just taking them. It's just finding a dance partner with them. I do think it's going to be a close game. That game really interests me because I do think the winner of that game can give the Chiefs, if all chalk holds, I think one of those teams could be in the AFC Championship game.
Either of those teams.
Either of those teams, I think, could give the Chiefs some
trouble. Chargers traditionally give them trouble.
And the Jags game was close. I mean, they lost by 10 this year, but it was a lot closer than the score indicated. It felt like they were in that game pretty much the whole game against the Chiefs, it felt like. So
what's interesting is because Dr. Bob is a regular guest of ours on Friday, and we like, hey, Bob, you want to come on? You want to talk NFL? And his reaction was, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of giving me that same vibe.
It's very tough. It's very tough. I like that. I do think the Vikings, I think it's getting overblown, the whole stuff with Daboll being a great coach. I do think I think he's a great coach, but the Vikings lost all these one-score games last year. Now they're winning all these one-score games.
Yeah.
Coaching have anything to do with that as well? So
I agree.
And nobody talks about O'Connell. Right. So I know they have the negative point differential for the season and everything like that, but I mean, I don't think it's a coaching mismatch in that game.
I like this guy. We should bring it back.
I like this guy. Man, Anthony Ciccotelli, by the way. That's how you pronounce that.
Got it.
In case you were scoring at home. All right, man. Well, look, it was great to meet you. We know you listen to the show a lot, too. Mm-hmm. Kelly was telling me that, so we appreciate you listening to the show as often as you do. I'm sorry about what happened in all three of those events, particularly Survivor. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that it had some nice resolution. And again, the website is Catching 3 for those who are...
Catching 3 was our entry in Circa Millions as well.
Okay.
It all comes back around.
We hope it does. Goes around, comes around, whatever the expression is. Anthony Ciccotelli right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Again, Matt Brown and Adam Burke on their NFL thoughts. This coming weekend, wild card weekend, I've got some Australian Open thoughts on the other side. A little tennis. It's A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's nice to meet Anthony. Last segment.
Yeah. Love meeting fans of the show. He listens all the time, he said.
Yeah.
And, man, I mean, he started telling me about that kind of week of events, and it was like, jeez. Brutal. Just brutal.
Triple
A. And then, of course, as a producer, I'm like, you want to come on air and talk about it?
Say, you wouldn't mind coming to the show, would you?
Like, you want to talk about all those thousands and tens of thousands of dollars that you somehow happened to lose last week?
He made the most of it. He got his T-shirt in there.
He did. That's right.
All right, want to talk some tennis?
Let's do it.
Let's talk some tennis. Australian Open again. Deep dive. Drew Dinsick and I did an hour and a half on the Aussie Open podcast form yesterday, and it is available at the Beating the Book feed. So there's a Megapod available about football with Drew. And the Australian Open, which is just me and Drew talking tennis, geeking out on that. So it's Drew Dinsick week on the Beating the Book pod. Again, just macro, Novak Djokovic, prohibitive favorite. Not prohibitive favorite, but the favorite in a field of 128 men where he's in minus money. Might as well be prohibitive. It's minus 110, and he should be, quite frankly. No Carlos Alcaraz, again, leg injury offseason has taken him out of this tournament. Not that that would have prevented Novak from being the favorite, by the way. Daniil Medvedev, the only other person in single digits at plus 550, but Rafa ends up in a quarter with Daniil Medvedev. So again, with seeding, Australian Open seeding adheres to the world rankings, but draws are random. And so before you know the draw, and this applies to the women's side as well, you hope that if you make pre-draw futures bets, that the man or woman you are betting on ends up with a favorable draw. In a way that, say, LeBron had when he played for the Cleveland Cavaliers in the East, where he would just sort of coast his way into the finals while the West just beat up on each other. Well, there are definitely two quarters on the men's side that are more difficult than the others. There are definitely two on the women's side. Iga, by the way, got the worst of it in terms of her draw. And, by the way, is probably coming to her because she had pretty much favorable draws and slams up until this point, but she ends up in a brutal quarter in Q1. I do have pre-draw bets on her. Certainly don't like the draw that she got. But now there are different ways you can bet this beyond just winning it all. And some of those are, you can bet quarters. And yesterday, Drew and I did not talk before the podcast. We both landed on Taylor Fritz on the men's side. He's in Q4, one of the easier quarters on the men's side. He was at plus 275 yesterday. He's not quite at plus 275 after that yesterday. He's at about plus 225. That is one heck of a bet, I think, because, again, he got a really favorable draw. As far as – we'll get to stage of elimination bets, because you can bet stage of elimination just like we do in the NFL playoffs. Let's talk about first-round matches first, some notable ones. And, again, these start on Monday Australian time, Monday Melbourne time, which is Sunday evening our time. Huge, obviously, a huge time zone difference. But these are some notable matches on the ladies' side to me. Anna Kalinskaya is plus 210 against Danielle freaking Collins. It's her nickname. I'm just not saying freaking randomly. By the way, Danielle Collins prefers Danimal.
Yeah, I always thought it was her nickname, too, freaking Collins.
It is her nickname.
I don't know. Okay.
It is her nickname. You think I'm making that up? You think I'm just like
saying
that?
Well, Kev asked you earlier.
No. What I'm saying is I couldn't find an origin to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I couldn't find the, who was the first person to say that? But no, that's her nickname. But she prefers Danimal. Half Danielle, half Animal.
I don't know that that's better.
I don't either. Anyway, I bring up this match because Collins could get very far. She is in Q1, though. It is the loaded quarter, but she's live in any tournament. She's in the loaded quarter that does feature Iga Swiatek. It does feature Coco Gauff. It does feature Zhang Xianwen. Kalinskaya has really good numbers, though. So the value in that, value, quote-unquote, would probably be on Kalinskaya. She probably shouldn't be that high, but I'm staying completely away from that match. Okay. I guess what I'm saying is don't just randomly throw Collins into a money line parlay.
And that's what I was going to ask you about. So that is because you will do that, right? First round of these Grand Slams. Play a lot of money line parlays with favorites,
yes,
right?
Yes, but I will not put her in it.
Gotcha.
Just in case. Bianca Andreescu, who won the 2019 U.S. Open, who, again, a lot of us still have muscle memory on her being as great as she can be at the top of her game. She's going against Marie Buskova. Marie Buskova's numbers are spectacular. She probably shouldn't be plus 115. I may have a bet on Buskova by the time the matches start. I will put out all my first-round match plays on Twitter. Here's one. Marta Kostyuk is plus 105 against Amanda Anisimova, the American. Anisimova's minus 125. Anisimova was showing really good form, but in her last match against Beatriz Haddad-Maia, she showed a little hitch in her giddy-up, a little physical problem. So I could be on Kostyuk by the time this match rolls around. I don't know. Let's put it this way. My instinct is not to play Anisimova because of that injury. Here's an interesting one. Brenda Fruvertova against Aleksandra Sasnovic. We spelled that wrong there. Sasnovic. Sasnovic is a huge favorite, but Brenda Fruvertova is the younger sister of a girl named Linda Fruvertova, who are among these really, really good wave of young Czech players. Linda Fruvertova, we've seen enough of. She is awesome. But Brenda, according to Drew yesterday, is supposed to be the Serena Williams of the Serena-Venus pairing here.
Oh, really?
Well, we just haven't seen enough of her. So I would not put Sasnovic in a moneyline parlay either.
Fruvertova?
Brenda Fruvertova is in this case. Linda's a big favorite in her match. Barbora Krejcikova, that's Krejcikova, is a big favorite over Sarah Bezalek. Now, this I will cede to Drew on this one particularly. He says big things about her. I don't know anything about her, but I wouldn't put Krejcikova in a moneyline parlay either. And then I just want to throw this out. We managed to misspell Iga Swiatek as well. I'm sorry, guys, to highlight spelling errors. Iga Swiatek is the number one player in the world. If you've listened to this show long enough, you know that she has been a colossal ATM machine for us through the years, and we could say through the years now. She's a massive favorite over a young German lady by the name of Julie Niemeyer. This match terrifies me. Ooh. Now, do I think Swiatek will win? God, I hope so. But Niemeyer is a great player on grass, and here's the issue. The Australian Open is going to be about 100 degrees on Tuesday. It's going to be 100 degrees in Melbourne. It's going to cool off after that to about 85. But on Tuesday, it's going to be 100 degrees, and I believe they scheduled Iga's match for Tuesday, which is brutal because when it's hot like that, it plays fast. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
That's the only part of it. So don't throw her in at minus 1,100. Please don't. Player to advance further. You can bet these this way. I didn't even see these.
Yeah.
Bencic versus Krejcikova, Sabalenka versus Garcia, Swiatek versus Jabeur. Beatrice
Haddad. Take right this time.
Yes, you did. Beatrice Haddad Maia versus Madison Keys. Kvitova, who's really in good form, versus Karolina Pliskova. I actually like Kvitova there, I think. And then Ludmila Samsonova versus Xin Wen Zheng. Look at the quarters. Again, the quarters 1 and 4 on the draw. The quarter with Iga in other words, and the quarter at the bottom that features Sabalenka and Bencic and Samsonova and Jabeur. Those are brutal quarters. So when you assess these, and these are available at DraftKings, again, Kelly,
yep.
There's no weeks of the year that I hate being in Nevada more than the weeks before slams, because we have none of these.
Oh, it's Gil, it was yesterday I was putting some of these together, and there was a ton posted. Oh. And then I go this morning to check up on stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, you didn't see this one because I added this morning because there's way more markets added.
Duh.
And hold your tweets. I get it. The straddle on these is silly big.
Yeah.
But guess what? Who else is posting these?
Some say. Now, those are player to advance further. Do we have stage of elimination? Because I think those
Yeah,
are
we do with a few players. Yep.
Let's do a stage of elimination for a few, because I think these are an interesting way to bet the tournament as well. And you can bet these on any slam when they're available.
And worded a little differently here, Gil. This is to reach X round, right?
To reach X round and go further. Okay, worded a little. So not stage of elimination, to reach X round or further. Good point. Caroline Garcia, she is in one of the easier quarters. So her path, if you go through her bracket, and again, it does require you to go through the bracket. I mean, Catherine Seabov is her opening match. She'll crush that. Leila Fernandez could be a problem in round two. But if she gets by Fernandez, I mean, what's the worst she can play in round three? Irina Camila Begu, she'll beat her. Annette Contivate would lurk in Q4. But even that's not the worst thing in her current form. Then it's Kasatkina in the quarters. I mean, she could go far. So advancing to the semis at plus 240, not the worst play there. Let's look at a couple others. But this is how you have to sort of assess these. On the other hand, Caroline Garcia has a really easy draw. What about someone like Paula Badosa or Coco Gauff? They're in a really difficult Q1 with Iga Swiatek. So for Coco, you know, she's got Siniakova in round one. She should probably win that. She's got Emma Raducanu in round two. She should probably win that. But then she has Zhang Xinwen, Paula Badosa, and Iga Swiatek back-to-back-to-back, theoretically.
Wait.
So I don't think there's a bet there.
And what's the status of Raducanu? She hurt?
She's playing.
Okay.
Yeah, she slipped in a tournament a couple weeks ago and was very angry about it, hurt her ankle.
Okay.
Yeah,
but she's playing. That's the concern about her this tournament.
Yes. Do that for all draws. Check out the draws. Check them out closely when you do these stage of elimination type bets. Football, Matt Brown, other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports, the VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe, that is, today, to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly, I am pumped. Football and tennis, let's go.
Let's go, baby.
And I totally mean it, like 2 weeks from now, when it's just down to the championship games and no more tennis slam, and you're just like, oh no.
Yeah, sorry.
I miss you football
already.
Golf's
heating up. NBA in the heart of the regular season. I love it.
February college basketball.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Conference it's like, get out of here.
You can justify it all you want, but it's not football.
It's not football.
Tennis is every week, too, but yeah. Football, we miss you already. That's why you got to enjoy this moment, everybody. 6 games this weekend, 4 next week, and who better to talk us through some of these 6 and hear about the bets that he has made than the co-host of the Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni each and every Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. It's Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing, Mateo?
Doing well. About $9.99 VSiN Pro, about $13.39 Canadian, for our friends up north, if they want to come in that. Couple of cups of Tim Hortons, and you can get a VSiN Pro subscription there.
Hey, what do they call those Tim Hortons frap? I was up there. I was up in Toronto visiting a fashion stylist, Deborah Song, and Tim Hortons, they have some amazing. It's not the donuts. People think you go there for the donuts. No. You go for the iced coffee drinks. I don't know what they're called.
They love the coffee up there. They love the coffee. Yeah, they love the coffee.
We're big on iced coffee in Canada?
Oh, they like it. I don't know. Maybe not the ice. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You can't press me on this. On the details.
we don't know.
Hey, Matt, one thing. It's only the three of us again here, so no one's listening. I heard that you and Ben Wilson are going around town hustling people in pickleball. Is this true?
Hey, there's no hustling involved. We're just going out. We're playing, you know, we're playing to the best of our ability at all times. And, you know, we take on all comers. We'll put it that way.
We take on all comers. Yeah. I just want to pinpoint a Matt Brown contradiction. You, with pickleball, have bought every piece of equipment, and you take this unbelievably seriously. Yet, we cannot get you to do this field goal thing. What's your deal, man?
So here's the thing. It's the proper warm up and all of that, the routine that takes to kick in the cold weather. And I can just go out and play pickleball. That's no big deal. This is a big process to get ready for this kicking thing. And there's a lot that needs to be involved. My coach is on vacation. Lots of stuff going, like all the things right here.
So Wait, whoa. Who's your coach? Now he's just making up stuff, right? I mean, we haven't heard about a coach for a year and a half.
Martin Gramatica is giving me like some lessons.
Gramatica. That's so awesome. Yeah. All right. When the year 2027, when you're an older man and you're ready to have the correct barometric pressure to do that bet, we're all excited about it. All right.
She just made up a Gramatica there. But like, yeah, we're going with Paul Gramatica.
Okay. This is such a great weekend of football. You've got three sides. You've got a couple teasers. Let's start with the very first one chronologically in terms of when it's played here this weekend. You like the Niners. You laid the points.
Yeah, I took it right as it hit. I thought this thing would get on the other side of 10, and I was just wrong, right? I mean, every time it gets to 10, people take the 10 on Seattle. I know this whole weather thing has been a big topic, but it doesn't really change my handicap in this game at all, right? I mean, Brock Purdy's not asked to do a whole lot in this offense. It is a whole bunch of kind of scripted, short, close to the line of scrimmage passes that he looks for yards after catch. If it is going to be real rainy and all that, okay, they're going to run the ball a ton. Well, you get Eli Mitchell back to go along with Debo being back, who, let's not forget, he'll siphon off three or four carries as well over the course of the game. And you have Christian McCaffrey. And you take a look at this Seattle defense, that there was this little blip in the middle of the season where they fooled us. They tricked us, that Pete Carroll, in thinking that they'd fixed something with the defense, and they had not. And it went right back to being the bad defense that we knew at the beginning of the year. And so if you look since week 10, their rush defense, 30th DVOA in the NFL, 32nd in rush EPA allowed. So we are talking about one of the very, very worst run defenses in all of the NFL, in a game in which I believe, even if there is, you know, this terrible torrential downpour, you know, going on, they're just going to turn around and hand the ball off a million times. And if that's the case, it doesn't change my handicap against a very bad run defense as it is anyway. And I don't think Seattle scores on this defense. I don't have to give you guys the accolades, but over that same time frame since week 10, number one overall DVOA, number one EPA allowed, number one in success rate allowed. I mean, they're just the best defense in the
good?
NFL. Yeah.
Good?
So yeah. I don't know. I know a lot of people are on Seattle. I'm on a couple of different sides that I think everybody else is on this week, but so be it. Matt versus the world, I guess.
Well, I'm with you on the Niners. Yeah. I am not with you on this one. Not that it's like the most conviction I've ever had on a play, by the way. I just want to point that out. But you are on the Jaguars.
Yeah, I like the Jags a pretty good amount here, mainly because this whole Mike Williams thing is a much bigger deal, I think, than we're making it out to be, just because of the fact that it's stupid that he's injured in the first place because of the decisions that Staley made. But if you look, I mean, it wasn't able to practice all week. So even if he's able to go, he's going to be obviously incredibly limited, because Staley said, oh no, he'll be able to practice this week. And then he wasn't able to make it out even for a limited practice over the course of the year, over the course of the week. And so what we get is a guy that we already have a sample size of this offense when he's not out there. So Chargers had a bye week in week 8. Then Mike Williams missed week 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I'm counting week 11. He only played 6 snaps in that game. If you remember, he was going to come back. He only played 6 snaps and left. So 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. In those 5 weeks in which he was not out on the field, this was the 26th DVOA offense overall. It was the 28th pass offense in over DVOA. It was the 25th drop back EPA. offense because it's broken when they don't have both of these guys out there. And yes, one of those games was against the 49ers over that five-game span, but the other four games, Falcons, Chiefs, Cardinals, Raiders. So they weren't getting it done against the defenses that you can get it done against. And so I think this offense has to have all of those guys out there to function properly. And I think a severely limited and or maybe Mike Williams not being out there at all is enough to kind of push me to the side of the Jags.
I can't argue that. Like that was my big holdup too. And I know we all crapped on Staley last week, but that was, I would have been laying three, maybe even more with the Chargers if I knew for sure we had a healthy Mike Williams this week. But now that's what you do. That's what happens last week, and now you got an unhealthy Mike Williams.
Mike Williams listed as questionable for this game against the Jaguars. By the way, real quick, yes or no answer. Do you believe that the Chargers or Jaguars, whoever advances here, could give the Chiefs some guff here, could actually make that a game?
So I actually, weirdly enough, I think the Chargers actually match up better against the Chiefs than the Jags, but I'm on the Jags this week. So it's kind of a, yeah.
All right. You like Kelly got a real good number on the Bengals.
Yeah. I thought the writing was on the wall that we were not going to get Lamar this week. And so when it opened under a touchdown, I was like, what are we doing here? So this was basically a play on not getting Lamar. Now it looks like maybe we won't even get Huntley. And even if we do get Huntley, it's a very, you know, compromised version of Huntley, who, by the way, has averaged 117.8 passing yards a game over his four starts for this team. That's not good either.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it was just an easy play for me at that. Now out at 9.5, you know, whatever. It's probably more of an underplay now for me than anything, even with it being so low at 40.5, because guys, 27-10 seems very within the realm of possibility here, right? I mean, that seems like very likely outcome in this where the Ravens can't score at all. Cincinnati does what they got to do. I don't know. Even at 40.5, I kind of lean towards the under with all that.
Okay, and then the 2 6-point teasers, one follows what you just talked about with the Jags and the Bengals. You teased both of those teams. Jags up through the 3 and the 7. Bengals down to 1, basically, you know, having to win that game. And the other one is the Jags tied in with the Buccaneers Monday night.
Yeah, Jags and I mean, this one, a little bit of a smaller play, and is more just kind of a buy-in on the Bucs maybe having kind of figured something out a little bit over the last few weeks. I didn't go heavy on that one. I really do like the other one much, much better. I just kind of saw some stuff here out of Tampa, and now we get the Cowboys on the road. I thought, you know, them winning at margin was something that I was willing to bet on here. And if the Cowboys prove me wrong, it is what it is. I just kind of felt like that this was getting them to 8.5 was a pretty good number. One thing I do want to scream about here for a second.
Please.
For this Seattle Seahawks 49ers game.
Yes.
If anybody is bullish on the 49ers out there, the 49ers are 5-1 to win the Super Bowl. But like every other player on that team is like 100-1 to win Super Bowl MVP.
I brought this up yesterday.
Yep. Like Kittle's 100, Ayuk's 125, like all this stuff like that. I mean, if you are not going to get anywhere near that if the 49ers actually make it to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And if this defense is as good as we believe and they continue to be as good as they are, a 17-10 Super Bowl final score where Purdy throws for 160 and 100 of those goes to either Ayuk or Kittle or something, I think is also very within the realm of possibility.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yesterday I said Kittle was my guy at 80-1. I think you have to make that play. Have to. Kittle, pick your Niner.
Yeah,
one,
I do too.
It's the one team where there's weapons besides Purdy that you can legitimately draw a line to win MVP. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Good luck, guys.
Matt Brown, at Matt Brown M2, Final Countdown, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Adam Berg on the other side, Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action. on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, as always. Skill Alexander, let me just thank the universe for getting the voice back. We've come a long way, Kelly Bidlin.
Sounding good, brother. Sounding good.
Come a long way in 10 days from not being able to produce any sound to being back 90%.
Yeah, we were pretty gross last week, that's for sure.
We were pretty gross. And also, thanks to the people who put on the air condition, because we were almost shirtless doing the show
today. Oh, yeah, that was right. You know what? We haven't even brought it up in like an hour. It is nice in here now.
Man, it could have been full-on ladies only.
Yeah. Well, just had a lot of people pile in the studio, too. It would have been a sight.
Oh, what a South Point, just the glass, just banging on the glass to get in here. Pro tip, make sure to study the tennis draws closely if betting markets like player to advance further or stage of elimination are available to you. Those draws are the key to it all. And again, some quarters way more heavy. Quarters of death than the others, which are much more skatable like player for players like Caroline Garcia, was a much easier draw than a player like Iga Swiatek. Same thing applies on the men's side, although the men's side, of course, has Novak lurking no matter what. Check those out. Study the draw. Study the brackets. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. This gentleman is kind enough to hang out with us towards the end of a numbers game on Friday when he is able to, and we always appreciate it. The glue. We called him the flex seal that holds the place together.
That's right.
Wes Reynolds is also flex seal that holds it together, wouldn't you say?
I think we've always called him the glue. So that's why I went with flex seal for Adam today.
Adam's the flex seal. And again, flex seal, you have a hole in your boat, you'll stay afloat.
Do you think I can get an NIL deal from them?
Adam Burke, ladies and gentlemen.
Get in line, okay? Come on.
Okay. All right.
Kelly sounds like the guy. Adam Burke is here. Adam Burke, who, of course, writes on the website each and every day as well. What do you got there these days? What's today?
Well, last week we talked about the college basketball article and how it wasn't doing well. It's actually done well this week.
There you go.
So, I don't know, maybe coming here was the slump buster the article needed.
Slump buster.
But, no, it's been going well this week. Got a couple of plays in there today. Only 13 games on the college hoops card, but got a couple of picks in there today over at VSiN.com.
Do you?
I do.
A little Ivy League action, maybe?
No Ivy League. MAAC and MAC.
Oh, sure. Kelly, tell me about the MAAC and the MAC.
The Mid-Atlantic something conference, athletic conference? Hold schools like Richmond?
No.
Dang it.
That's close, though.
I don't got it. George Washington.
Metro Atlantic, right?
Metro Atlantic.
Yeah, there. George Washington's
in the
A-10.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't have any.
Kelly's NBA and golf and tennis. He's everything but college basketball, I feel like.
What did you say, Kelly? You're basketball first, golf second, or golf first, basketball second?
Basketball first.
Okay. All right. Adam Burke is here to talk some wild card weekend with us, though, primarily. What a great weekend of sports. This is going to be awesome. What do you like best of all of them? Let's start there.
Well, I was going to say, is it? I mean, do the three
Do the three
big underdogs really have a chance in wildcard weekend?
Not in my opinion.
I don't think so either.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to enjoy watching those.
And the thing that kind of concerns me a little bit, and obviously betting is the great equalizer here, right? I mean, it makes every game interesting.
Yes,
but
sir.
The three games with close lines, I mean, I don't know if – I mean, I think the Chargers and Jags are both pretty decent teams. The Giants and Vikings are not. And Dallas and Tampa Bay, I mean, maybe the highest variance game of the weekend, just simply because I don't know what to expect from either one of those teams given the body of work coming down the stretch here.
I'm with you. I'm with you on the sentiment. I mean, the only preflop I have on those three that are closer lined is the Chargers. And even that, I was saying, you know, is not my favorite bet in the world. But I'm with you that the other two are tough preflop. Here's the thing about that. We usually say, hey, I don't want to have a preflop bet, but maybe if I see something in-game-wise, I'll bet one of these. I don't even know if we can necessarily say that about the Vikings and the Giants, because the Vikings feel like they're a magnet to zero,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe you can play that way. But I'm just saying, I don't know that I find any of these teams that we're referring to particularly consistent or that I can really expect them to do what I think they might do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I completely agree with that sentiment. I mean, look, I did take the Giants +3. I just feel like better coach, less mistake-prone quarterback. I'll go ahead and take a shot with that. This game probably ends on the Vikings donking a 37-yard field goal off the upright. You know, something like that. So I went ahead and took the Giants in that one. I think Brian Daboll is just a better coach. Kevin O'Connell's fine. But Brian Daboll, the things he's done with this Giants team, very, very impressive. Daniel Jones, only 5 interceptions this year. They've taken away, really, his ability to make mistakes, whereas Kirk Cousins is plenty capable of making mistakes, as we know. So the Giants preflop is a play that I made. I like San Francisco full game and first half, I think. I just think Seattle is not a good match for them. 34-3, the 49ers outscored them in the first half of their 2 regular season games. Seahawks under 4 yards per play in the first half of those 2 games combined. I just don't really see how the Seahawks are able to keep up with the 49ers. The bad weather probably helps San Francisco, to be honest with you.
I think so.
Because Seattle needs to be able to throw the football. I guess the other thing I'll ask you, Gil, it is the world's most obvious teaser, right, to take the Jaguars and the Buccaneers. How does it lose? Which one ruins it?
It loses if the obvious answers, I think, are it loses if the Chargers finally realize their full potential, which is a real big if, right? Or if the Buccaneers just to me, again, and this is, I'll say it again as the macro, we started the show with this, I'll end the show with this. I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I don't think there's another equivalent to them, have created the most vastly different opinions of a team heading into the playoffs. Because there are those like myself who have bet massively against them week after week after week after week this year, who just have sat up here and said they stink, and they have. And quite frankly, they should have won probably 4 games this year. No exaggeration, 4 or 5. They finished 8-9. Brady with a couple amazing comebacks, one other game that they had no business winning. And then there's the group of analytics folks. We had Drew Dinsick. I love Drew Dinsick. Drew Dinsick did all these podcasts with me this year. This week he was on a numbers game. But you know how we feel about Drew. Drew believes the Buccaneers can not only win this game, he believes they can make a deep run into the postseason. And so my answer to your question would be like, well, if the Buccaneers just absolutely are the team that I think they are. Now, having said that, and Kelly's been good to like make me point this out a few times so that we can't get the people, you know, like, hey, you saw the Bucs stink. No, this week I wouldn't be surprised about anything.
Right.
But if they are to, if that teaser is to be torpedoed, the Bucs would just, here's the thing, the Cowboys wouldn't be the team from last week. The Cowboys would have taken us all off the scent last week, and that they're actually capable of being as good as they were at their best this year.
Well, the Bucs are, I guess, to some degree, kind of a polarizing team. I mean, defensively, they stopped the run as good as anybody, which should be something that helps them here in this game against the Cowboys. And when you've got Brady and when you have that level of skill position talent, they do have a very high ceiling. So I understand where Drew's coming from with that. We all know the knock on Brady. If he gets pressure up the middle, that's going to be the problem. Do the Cowboys get any in this game? I don't know. A lot of their pressure tends to be from the edges when they do get it. So I think that's kind of the big question. But it's hard to see Brady overcoming everything with this team, with all the deficiencies that they have.
It is to me.
Especially the coaching. I mean, the coaching is a really big deficiency. And they're lucky they get Mike McCarthy this week, which gives them a really good chance at a win. Which is something else to kind of, I think, elaborate on a little bit. There's some subpar coaching among the teams that are playing the 6 games here this week. How much of that has a significant impact on these games?
And you're referring to Todd Bowles with the Bucs. Mm-hmm. Who else are you referring to? Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys.
McCarthy. I think a lot of people still, despite all the success that the Bengals have had, kind of look at Zach Taylor with a lot of skepticism. You know, I mean, they've adjusted well on the fly, and obviously in second halves, their defense has been really good throughout the course of the season. But, you know, if Baltimore maybe had Lamar Jackson, you could make a case that the Ravens were live. I still think the Ravens could cover the 9.5 here with Huntley, just because it wouldn't shock me if Taylor and the Bengals start really slow in this game.
But your favorite bet is the Giants, and your favorite bet is that teaser.
Yeah, and okay. I do really like San Francisco first half. A lot of 6.5 out there. I think the full game at 9.5 is fine, too.
Kelly, let's roll through our bets for those who missed them earlier. Let's review them all since this is the
Yeah, let's do it. I'll just start rolling through mine quick. NBA tonight, I did play the Bulls laying 4.5 against OKC on the back end of a back-to-back. Also tied in the Warriors tonight with the Vikings on a moneyline parlay. So Adam and I a little bit heads up there. Then this weekend, all I bet is the Bengals laid the points with the Bengals early in the week, 6.5 and 7. You, my friend.
Not me. I'm Chalk McChalkerson. I'm all over the Niners, the Bengals, and who am I forgetting already? Oh, yeah, the Buffalo Bills every which way. Now, I got really fortunate again here on the show. I bought the Bills down to 7 right before the Tua news. So I have them in a parlay at -7, but I have a money line parlay with the 3 big favorites. I have a teaser with the 3 big favorites. I have the Bengals, the Niners, and the Chargers straight up. That's the one sort of variation for that. And then Australian Open bets, I got Eagle all kinds of ways pre-draw. I will add all of my first round match bets on Twitter. For those who want them, just hit me up at Beating the Book. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.